Can you hear me? Yeah. Good. So this is a simulator sickness analysis work that we administered in conjunction with a 3D TV test that we performed. And the other authors are Kun Wang and Börje Andrén, also at I'm co-affiliated with Mid-Sweden University and the Research Institute of Creo in Sweden, and so it's a joint collaboration between these two organizations. And a little bit more you will learn about. So MPEG issued a call for proposal in their 3D TV project for developing a new generation of video codecs a couple of years ago. And during this project, they launched a subjective 3D video quality test campaign involving 13 labs around the world, which we were one of the labs. The main test was about 3D video coding quality, mean for evaluating new algorithm for the new video codec. But it was optional to use a similar sickness questionnaire for the labs. We did that, and this presentation will be about our results. But to give you the background, I will describe briefly the test, that how it was conducted, so you understand the environment that this sickness questionnaire was used. So in the main test, a modified double stimulus impairment scale was used, and the procedure was to briefly give a gray screen with the letter A, and then show the reference video, then briefly show a gray screen with the letter B, and then give the degraded video, and finally a gray screen when it said vote. And that was given for about 5 seconds. And then the subject should vote on paper. It was an 11 graded scale, where in the instruction they were told to use 10 if they found the quality excellent, or at the same as the non-distinguishable from the reference, actually. And then give 0 if it was very bad, basically the worst that you can find in the test. We used a passive stereoscopic 3D TV, a film pattern retarder for 6-inch Hyundai TV. The subjects then, of course, used polarized glasses. We had max 3 viewers at the time, and the environment was conforming to the ITU recommendation 500. The playback was done with Windows Media Classic from a PC, and the TV was in 2D mode, and the video has been offline interlaced by IPFL in Switzerland, and the video were each about 8 to 10 seconds long. When the viewers arrived, we did a visual screening, we gave them instruction, and we presented the simulator sickness questionnaire. We did a training session, about 10 trials, which took 5 minutes. Then they went through a rather long test, most of them. They did 56 trials first, that took 25 minutes. That was called 2 sessions, actually, in this test. Then they had a short break, another 56 trials, a longer break, another 56 trials, and a short break. And finally, most of them had just 28 trials. And then they answered the questionnaire, and then that was the end of the test. So not all the test subjects did as we see, the 7 session, but most of them, about 53, took this long test, which lasted about 1.5 hours of pure viewing time, then including the training session, not including the breaks. The simulator sickness questionnaire was, as far as I know, introduced by Kennedy and colleagues in 1993. It was developed for evaluating simulators. The comparison was at that time done towards a database of evaluated simulators. And it was recommended to only administer it afterwards if you screen away people that were saying that they were not feeling healthy or bad. Now we don't have a database to my knowledge, of simulator sickness questionnaire for 3D TV. So we did administer this before and after to have as a comparison. In our questionnaire, it has one more level to score than in the original version. And this was the way it looked. It had a column with different symptoms that could arise when you are in a simulator. And then you can grade these symptoms on a 5-graded scale, not from none, slight, moderate, strong, or severe. The SSQ participants were about, it was 68 of them that completed the questionnaire before and after. There were an age range between 16 and 72, mean of 34 and median of 29. A third were females and then two-thirds were male, 48 of them, okay, so yes. For the statistical analysis, we converted these grades into numerical values, 0 for none, 1 for slight, 2 for moderate, 3 for strong, and 4 for severe. And then we looked at the individual symptoms before and after. We did pairwise statistical tests, both parametric and non-parametric. We also performed ANOVA to look at a post hoc test for pairwise difference between before and after. But also we looked at the analysis that Kennedy and colleagues had developed in their paper 1993, where they grouped these symptoms together and suggested an analysis to get the strengths of these symptoms in a combined way. And this analysis was, and this is basically taken from their paper. So they found in their statistical analysis that the symptoms could group in different ways. And one of the stable solutions were three groups which they identify as a group they called nausea, one they called oculomotor, and one they called disorientation, and then also calculated a total score. And the calculation was basically a sum of the columns of the appropriate symptoms that built up the combined score. So if you sum the values for the subjects on the symptoms that is marked 1 here and collect them in 1, and you do the same for 2 and 3, and then finally you multiply this with the coefficient that they had suggested to get the values approximately comparable with each other. That's what I understood. And for the total score, you sum up these individual sums and give another coefficient. So, looking at the results, here is a graph of the individual scores where we have the symptom strengths on the y-axis and the symptoms on the x-axis. And the blue graph is what the mean of the scores were before, and the green is what the mean of the scores were afterwards, and the error bars are 95% confidence intervals. And as you can see, that there are some of the symptoms that stands out more clearly after than before, a bigger difference. And they are fatigue, eye strain, difficulty focusing, and difficulty concentrating. Then we could also look at the box and whisker graph, and one thing you can see is, of course, that the overall votes are higher after than before. You can see that we also got some votes on the strong level here. Zero is none, slight, moderate, strong, severe. But you can also note that there were no votes on the severe level. So, but maybe strong is bad enough, I guess. So we did this pairwise statistical test. We applied a few of them, and depending a little bit on how sensitive they are, they give a bit of a different result. But we can summarize this in this way, that there are some symptoms that were significant for all the tests. And that was the peaks I showed you in the graph. That was fatigue, eye strain, difficulty focusing, and difficulty concentrating. And then there was a group in the middle, so to speak, where they were significant for some of the tests. That was general discomfort, sweating, fullness of head, blurred vision, dizzy with eyes open, and dizzy with eyes closed. They were also worse after than before, significantly. In some of the tests. And then we also had some of the symptoms that were not significantly different, and that was increased salivation, nausea, vertigo, stomach awareness, and burping. Continuing with the analysis of this symptoms group by Kennedy, we computed these scores before and after, and the y-axis is this SSQ scores, which you get out of the analysis. And on the y-x-axis, you have these different sums. You have nausea, oculomotor, disorientation, and the total score. And as you can see, also by statistical, all these were significantly higher after than before, and the biggest difference is for the oculomotor system. So the questionnaire says basically that this visual oculomotor system is the strongest effect by this viewing of 3D TV. And some other analysis results we pulled out of this, maybe more negative result, but anyway, we, as you saw before, we had some viewers that didn't do the test as many sessions as the main part. So we analyzed the difference, and we could see that there was a small tendency that they gave the shorter viewing time get less symptoms, but it was not significant. We also looked at the gender effect. There was no significant effect and no tendency. And we looked at the age. There was a slight tendency that the younger had higher votes both before and after, but that was not significant either. So in conclusion or summary, we had 68 viewers in 3D TV viewing up to about 1.5 hours, that kind of a feature length movie time. We administered the SSQ before and after and analyzed the result. We found that the fatigue, eye strain, difficulty focusing, and difficulty of concentrating was significantly worse after than before. Based on the analysis of Kennedy, we find that the highest impact was on the oculomotor system, and this was significantly higher. Also, we didn't find that anyone reported severe symptoms after this viewing time, but several said that had strong symptoms. Maybe on the upside, we also found that 40% have not indicated more than slight symptoms on any question. So there is a large group that are mainly unaffected by viewing 3D TV for a long time. And then I want to like to thank our sponsors, the Swedish Governmental Agency for Innovation System and MPEG. Thank you.
Yeah, Julian Flack from DDD. I was just wondering if the group that was largely unaffected was correlated with age?
Could you repeat, please? What was unaffected by age?
You said there was 40% that were largely unaffected.
Was oh,
there,
yeah, okay.
Was there a correlation with age?
I haven't analyzed that combination, sorry. No, I don't know. Good question.
Andrew, check your switch.
That would do it, wouldn't it? Thank you, Stephen. Okay, so please join me in thanking Shell, and yes.
Thank you.